You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4.
A film is released in cinemas here tomorrow that offers a harrowing perspective on the spate of killings of young black men by white people in the United States. It features Ron Davis, whose son Jordan was shot dead by a white man called Michael Dunn back in 2012 in a petrol station in Florida.
45-year-old Michael Dunn, he's being charged with shooting and killing 17-year-old Jordan Davis.
The confrontation began over loud music.
Was there music playing in the car?
Yes.
What type of music?
Rap.
Did the defendant say anything about the music?
Oh, I hate that thug music.
Thug is the new N-word. PG-13 for black kids.
I'm not racist. They're racist.
Well, Ron Davis, Jordan's father, is here. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Tell us, before we get onto the politics of all of this, tell us a bit about Jordan. He was 17.
17-year-old. He was born in Atlanta, Georgia, but he last 2 years of his life he spent in Jacksonville with me in Jacksonville. And I was living in Atlanta at the time he was born, and, you know, we had a great family time. He traveled a lot. Me and his mother both worked for Delta Airlines, so we did a lot of traveling.
What did he want to do?
He wanted to actually go into the military. My mother and father, they were both in World War II. My father was in Germany. He drove the fuel trucks up to the front. And my mother was a nurse. She was a WAC in the Women's Army Corps. And so he was always excited about that, always wanted to get DVDs on World War II.
And the film is called 3.5 Minutes, 10 Bullets, which really sums up, what happened. They were in the parking lot of a petrol station.
The gas station and the gate gas station, and in 3.5 minutes, it just took that time for Michael Dunn to actually end his life and end my son's life, literally my son's life, but his life with first-degree murder, no chance of parole, life imprisonment, which effectively ended his life in 3.5 minutes, and he shot 10 bullets at the car of children.
And the point of the film is that there have been quite a few others since then, a club almost, of fathers in particular who have got together, and I think you've talked to other fathers in your position.
Absolutely. Trayvon Martin case happened about 7-8 months before that in the state of Florida also, and Tracy Martin, the father of Trayvon Martin, called me and sent a text and said, you know, welcome to a club that no one wants to be a member of. And since then, I've had to call Mike Brown in Ferguson and welcome him into the club, and I flew to Ferguson. Before I flew to Ferguson, I was the first one to speak at the United Nations conference in Geneva, Switzerland, about what was happening in Ferguson and also what was happening in Jacksonville, Florida.
And what is happening? I mean, from your perspective, obviously there is racism involved.
Well, the gun culture. I mean, since President Obama took office, there has been this NRA and gun manufacturers have whipped up a lot of the people that love to have their guns as weapons, not as a sport. And in America now, the guns were flying off the shelves. There's stores like Walmart that sell many guns in America. They couldn't keep guns on the shelf because they've whipped them into a frenzy that because we have a black president, that now people of color were taking over the United States, which is idiotic since we're only about 12% of the United States. But right now we have pockets of Ku Klux Klan members that are giving leaflets out now, and instead of wearing hoods like they did in the 1940s and the 1950s as white supremacists, now they have badges and guns in the United States, and they've become infiltrated into the police department.
On the other hand, it is a fact, isn't it, that most black people who are killed, and a staggering number are killed, murdered every year, but most of them, the overwhelming majority of them, murdered by other black people.
Well, what I tell people is not black-on-black crime, it's neighbor-on-neighbor crime. You have to understand that people, when they go out to victimize people, they don't look at the color of their skin. What they look at, whoever's in their neighborhood. So that's neighbor-on-neighbor crime. If they had white people in their neighborhood, they would victimize those people. So a lot of the staggering statistics they point out is that black people hate other black people, but that's not the truth.
And no, but it's still a fact that they are both victims and perpetrators, and I suppose the point being that this is about more than racism. It is about a culture of violence, and that needs to be addressed.
Well, and one of the cultures of violence is mass incarceration. When you look at the United States, which is 5% of the population of the world, now you have 25% of the world's incarceration is right there in the United States. And that bodes well for promoting abusiveness in the United States. In the United States, these people come out of prison and they come out with animalistic tendencies because they've been abused in prison. There's no rehabilitation in prison in the United States. And when they come out, they victimize whoever's in their neighborhood.
Interesting you bring up incarceration, because that actually is one area, isn't it, where there is some political movement on both sides of the political divide, whereas on gun control, frankly, there isn't. Really.
That's right. As a matter of fact, in Newtown, you know, we had 20 babies, 26 and 7-year-olds that were murdered with assault rifles. You couldn't even identify what they looked like. And still, the United States government had no gun regulation even after those 20 babies were murdered.
It is an appalling, I mean, not just the story of your son, appalling as that is, but when you put it in those terms and when you look at the waste of life in somewhere like Chicago, where there are about 40 or so shootings every weekend, and you mentioned President Obama, first black president, etc. Do you, and indeed your own parents, going back to World War II, I mean, obviously, in many areas, and we keep being told that on this program, progress has been made, and yet...
Yes, not as much progress as you would imagine, because, you know, the Constitution of the United States, at the time that it was written, we were 3/5 of a human being. You know, when you look at the Dred Scott decision, he wasn't even noticed as a human being. So you're working with something that's flawed from the beginning of its concept. So how can you look at it now in 2015 and think that we've made progress when we see redistricting because we don't want black congressmen and congresswomen, so they redistrict to make sure that they get out of office? If you look at how Congress and the Senate is built up, how many African Americans do you see on the Congress and the Senate? So therefore, you can't say you have progress when you still have people that look at the color of your skin as a barometer whether you're intelligent or not, no matter how many strides you make.
Ron Davis, thank you very much for talking to us today. The film, as I say, is out on Friday, tomorrow.
Thank you.
You can listen to more free content from the Today program by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.